When the pastor had told me that the emphasis today was going to be focused around the idea of being thankful, there were so many things that we could develop and talk about. But I have kind of a unique situation going on in my life right now, and that is that I realized as a result of some things that happened early last year that it was going to be hard for me to continue to take care of the home that the Lord had allowed us to live in these last almost 12 years. It's not exactly the best thing to have a water valve in your bathroom just spraying all over the place and to see your wife frantically gathering towels from every place and trying to contain the water that's getting out. And I told her, I said, don't worry, I'll go out to the street and turn off the water. Now, the trouble is that it had been snowing, it was cold, it was dark, and all of those things. And so I went out to the street and I tried to turn off the water. It was, as I said, it was dark, it was cold, it was icy. I couldn't get the wrench on the valve the way I wanted to. So I fooled around and fooled around on that thing, and finally I was able to get it turned off, and I was having angina pains pretty significantly because of some of the heart issues and so forth that I've had in the last few years. And it occurred to me that it would not be a real good thing for her to have to call 911 because I was laying out on the street trying to shut the water off, and she would have water spraying all over the place. And so I decided that's time to sell this home. Doesn't that make sense? Okay, three of you said yes. All right. I felt like that was the wise thing to do. We had no idea how things would develop, and we've really prayed about what the Lord would have for us. We were told that when you put your house up for sale, that it's going to take a long time for it to sell, and there will be all kinds of things that they want to have done. That did not happen. They bought our house immediately, and there were no things that had to be done. The thing was is that it went so smoothly that we didn't have a place to go into right away. So do we have volunteers that would like to take care of seriously, the Lord is taking wonderful care of us, and we're very content. We have our name on a waiting list. The problem is it's a waiting list involving a condo where a lot of senior citizens live, and you can't really get into that condo unless somebody dies. So how do I pray? You know, I've got to be very careful about this. So we don't want to wish anyone else ill, but on the other hand, we're just trusting the Lord, and God has been very good. And one of the things that's been such a thrill is that I've shared this with the pastor and Brother Fricks. The Lord has really kept us busy. We just are so thankful for that. That's a blessing, and we rejoice in that. It looks like we're going to be in Alaska this next year. We had to cancel some time in British Columbia until we get some other issues all straightened out. But just pray that the Lord will continue to lead us and direct us, because it's a wonderful thing to be able to trust the Lord. Let me just tell you that when you have to downsize, it's somewhat traumatic. First of all, pastor, getting rid of books, that is really tough as far as a pastor is concerned, to get rid of books. Now that, my wife said that there were a lot of tools that have to go. And the thing that I thought, well, sure, I have boys. They'll take care of the tools. The trouble is, the tools that my boys want are not the kind of tools that I have, all right? And they like modern tools. And we had all kinds of furniture that I thought was very, very valuable, but my children did not want any of it. We could not give it away. We just went through this whole thing. And so we realized that what we had was really worthless. And it might be good for you to do an inventory to see what you have that's really worth less. sometimes it's good for you to go through things like that. And it was quite a shock to me. But right now, we are in that very, very interesting time when if people said, where do you live? I have to say, I don't know where I live. And they look at me kind of strange, like, are there other problems going on here? But nonetheless, the Lord is taking care of us, and we thank you for your prayers. But it has caused me to realize something that I want to talk to you about today. The Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples in the passage that we read this morning, I go to prepare a place for you. What I want to do this morning is to speak to you from the Word of God about the fact that before too long, we're all going to be at the Father's house. We're all going to be at the Father's house. And I hope that as a result of the study in the Word of God, that our hearts would be moved and touched by that. On occasion, I have had people tell me, you don't really believe that after you die, that there is a place called heaven. And I have to say, yes, I really do believe that, because the Word of God tells me that. That's a wonderful hope. Aren't you glad that this life isn't all there is? Because our life goes very, very rapidly. Amen? It's rather very interesting to have my children and grandchildren listen to me talk about how fast time has gone. And I realize that suddenly they're going to be saying in a few years the same thing I'm saying right now, where it's going to be time has gone. But I'm glad to tell you this morning, we're going to focus on the fact that there is, for those who receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there is a real place. We talked about that in John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ had tenderly ministered to his disciple in John chapter 13. He was just pouring his heart and soul into them in that 13th chapter. It's just such a blessing to read that. I might need a little water if someone would be so kind as to help me out. I'd appreciate it. But anyway, if you know that what you're going to say is all you're going to get to say before something big happens, that makes a lot of difference to the one saying it. It makes a lot of difference to the one hearing it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ tenderly was leading these people to realize this earth isn't all there is. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. A place. A place that has been prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think as people we can really appreciate this as much as parents who have their children go off to college or the military or something like that the first time. It is really hard when that first child leaves, isn't it? And you think about that child coming back. You look forward to that time when that child is coming back. You just long for to have the children gathered together. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And then in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, that wonderful, wonderful prayer, Father, I will. This is what I really want. In John chapter 17 and verse 24, he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. Hold on to that, because that's twice that he has said that in this particular passage of Scripture. We are, as believers, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, did you realize that you are the Father's gift to the Son? He said here, I will that they also whom thou hast what? Given me, be with me where I am. It's as though the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, Father, I just long for the time when those whom thou hast given me are gathered, that they will be with us, that they will be where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So the first thing that I would like to focus on is the fact is that we have a very, very confident aspiration. We are looking forward to something. We aspire to this. And we know that it involves a place. And we hear this from none other than the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. But I'd like to, as we think about this confident aspiration, I'd also like to have us talk about the anticipation of the believer, the anticipation of the saint that we have. What a blessing it is. In Psalm 5 and verse 7, it says, thank you, brother. But as for me, in the abundance of your loving kindness, in the abundance of your loving kindness. That's a thrill. In the abundance of what? Your loving kindness. We can't really appreciate how much God loves you as a believer, but we find that there is this declaration, in the abundance of your loving kindness, I will come into your house. That's a place. I will bow toward thy holy temple in reverence of you. In Psalm 11 and verse 7, it tells us, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance, that is his face, doth behold the upright. And then in the 16th Psalm, thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades or the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We are suddenly given a whole group of facts that are just thrilling. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In the 17th Psalm, I heard a very prominent radio personality taking phone calls, and in the course of that particular conversation, he confessed that even though he was Jewish as far as his religion was concerned, he wasn't really too sure that there really was something beyond the grave. But folks, I'm glad to tell you that in Psalm 17, it tells us, as for me, I shall see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with seeing your form. What a joy. The psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake and seeing your form. And then, of course, in Psalm 23, we touched on the first part of that 23rd Psalm this morning. But in that 23rd Psalm, in the sixth verse, it tells us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then notice, and I will dwell in a place. I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long? Forever. It's hard not to really get too involved in that 116th Psalm in the 15th verse. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We have quite a number of people for whom we pray every night just before we go to sleep, my wife and I. And we have lost to us quite a number of people that were very dear to us just in these last months in this year. But the Word of God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death. From heaven's sight, it's precious. And we understand that because the Lord Jesus Christ could hardly wait until they are with the Father and with him. So this leads me to ask you to turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. Because in Isaiah, we find here that here is a man who had seen and had gone through some very, very traumatic things as far as his life was concerned. It's hard for us to totally appreciate all that he was going through. He saw some things happening as far as his country was concerned that really caused him great distress. We can identify, can we not? When it seems as though there is corruption, as soon as it seems as though that the people that you really were counting on were going to be able to help you out, and suddenly they're not available, they're not there, it's good to know that when it seems as though that things are just always going sideways, isn't it good to know that in times of great distress, in times of great trial, that like Isaiah of old, I can see the Lord high and lifted up. Praise God. Aren't you glad for that today? We need to have a little bit of a background here for us to totally understand that. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, we read, in the year that King Uzziah died, and that was a really, really difficult thing because Uzziah had done a lot of good things as far as his life is concerned, but he died a leper. And Isaiah's heart was just broken because of all that had gone on as far as Uzziah was concerned. And it just seemed like this is not the way it was supposed to go. And he did not know what the future held as far as his country was concerned. But when things seem as bad as they can, as far as politics or as far as the land is concerned, it's a good time to be able to say, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I hope that we can focus on that a little bit today. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Uzziah's gone. Other kings are gone. Good kings, negative kings are gone as far as the southern kingdom is concerned. And in the northern kingdom, it was really a mess. And he saw king after king after king. He saw prophets that were no longer teaching and preaching the word of God. They were doing things that were very, very self-seeking. And so he saw all of these things, and it could have been very, very distressing to him. But praise God, when things are all askew on planet Earth, God gave him a vision of the fact that the Lord was sitting on the throne. May I encourage you with that today? When things are not just exactly the way we would like to see it, aren't you glad that the Lord is still on the throne? He said, the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And the one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah was a godly man. In fact, they tell us that he was probably one of the most educated of the prophets, probably even related to the royal family, some tell us. He was a godly man. He would have been so aware of the fact that when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, that high priest would have seen the high priest would have seen the cherubim over that golden cherubim over that Ark of the Covenant. At the top of the mercy seat, there was one on this side, and there was one on that side. And in the Ark of the Covenant, there were other things, but in that Ark of the Covenant, there was also the law. And the law was the thing that just gave them the understanding that they needed God. They were sinful men. Oh, there was a law that had to do with stealing, murder, immorality, all of those things. In fact, it was so profound, it was so immense that the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you even thought about doing those things, you were guilty of breaking the law. And quite frankly, here was the Ark of the Covenant. And that priest had to be already prepared. There had to be the sacrifice that he had for himself. There had to be everything just absolutely. And there was that Ark of the Covenant. And underneath was the law that condemned and condemned and condemned. And it would look like so that because he is such a holy God. And by the way, Isaiah saw the one who was holy, 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 didn't he? That's who he saw. And folks, because he is a holy God, I have no right to think that I could be even in his presence. Because he is such a holy God, except for one thing that gives me hope. And even though he is a holy God, I'm so glad that there is the mercy seat. There's the mercy seat. And the high priest could go in there, and as he was prepared, he could take the sacrifice, he could take that blood, and at the exact time, he could sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. We do know this, that the Shekinah glory was there. And we do know this, that as a result of the Shekinah glory, there was a constant reminder that that was indicative of the presence of God. And when the blood was consumed from off the altar, it was proof that the sacrifice had been accepted. In the Old Testament, the term that's used is the term atonement. Our sins were covered. I don't want to move too far ahead, too rapidly, but let me tell you this. The book of Hebrews, as well as the book of 1 John, as well as the book of Romans, tells us that what happened there was not just the atonement, but in Hebrews it tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself, when his blood was shed, there were some wonderful things that happened. It wasn't just a covering. It was, the Greek word is hilasterion, hilasterios. It means that God is satisfied. Romans chapter 3 gives us wonderful, wonderful information. Because the blood was shed, my sin has been paid for. All of it. I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and all of my sin was paid for. And if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of your sin has been paid for. God is satisfied. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Oh, my friend, if you're here this morning, you've never received Christ as your Savior. Oh, I hope that you will come to the Savior. Again, in the book of Romans chapter 3, it tells us some very wonderful things. As a result of that, we are redeemed. We have been purchased out of the whole sphere of death. We have been redeemed. My sin, I no longer belong to Satan. I now belong to God. Because of propitiation. Aren't you glad for that? And because of that, we can have also reconciliation. We are reconciled to God. And I have to tell you, that was a wonderful, wonderful day when I realized that Tom Neiman, as a sinner, could not try to negotiate with God and try to do things my own way. I had to come to that place where I said, oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want Jesus Christ. I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, and I knew that I was saved. I was reconciled to God. What a glorious thing. But We also find there's another wonderful word there in that particular section. It also tells us that we are justified. Justification. It tells us some things prior to that particular verse, but it tells us some things following that and after that as well. And let me tell you, this is a glorious truth. And it is something that we can really be thankful for this morning. In justification, all of my sins are gone. That was a big relief to me, to realize that my sins were gone. But as I started studying the scripture and I started learning more and more about this great salvation, I realized that not only were my sins gone, but my sins were replaced with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when God looks at you as a believer, he doesn't look at you as one who has had shame and failure and degradation and wickedness and sinfulness and recklessness. He doesn't see all of that. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are made righteous in him. That's something for which to be thankful for. Wouldn't you agree? As I was preparing for this particular message this week, even, I was doing a lot of thinking and praying, and it occurred to me something that's a blessing to me. When we are with the Lord in heaven, we're not going to say, well, I'm here by the grace of God, and he saved me out of a life of horrible wickedness. Some might say, well, the Lord saved me out of a life of immorality. The Lord saved me out of a life of drunkenness or drug abuse or things like that. We're not going to be talking about the fact that he saved us out of that wickedness and 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 that wickedness. We're going to be talking about the fact that we are as righteous as Jesus Christ. It's all right for you Baptists to say amen once in a while. Did you know that? Glory! I told you this. I was feeling very melancholy. My sister was in a horrible car accident. My mom and my dad and I were driving from Iowa to South Dakota. We didn't know whether we were finding her dead or alive. And I was in a very melancholy mood. And I said, Mom, I'm sorry. I was such a pill growing up. I said, you know, I really was ordinary at times. And she looked at me and said, Tom, you were a good kid. You were never ordinary. Mom, if you're not going to remember it, I'm not going to bring it up again, all right? Are you with me? Folks, I'm glad to tell you, if you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the glory. We're not going to be talking about what great sinners we were, what horrible failures we went through. We're going to be talking about the goodness and the magnificence and the glory and the grandeur of our God. That's what we're going to be talking about. By the way, put that in the context of what we've already said. Do you realize that Jesus Christ can hardly wait till you're there? We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. I really thought when I graduated from college, I'd taken all of those courses in theology, I thought that the rapture was going to occur in my lifetime. I'm at the place now where it doesn't really make any difference whether the rapture takes place, which could happen at any instant, or whether I die It doesn't really make any difference because I'm going to be with the Lord. Amen. I'm going to be in the Father's house. The children had a song they used to sing. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. Aren't you glad for that today? So here we have the thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy. That should not really surprise us because there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That shouldn't really surprise us, should it? And I can identify with Isaiah. He has a vision. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. And quite frankly, I'm not trying to be humble or anything like that. I'm not trying to portray myself in that way. But quite frankly, if suddenly the scroll was rolled back and heaven opened up and I saw the Lord high and lifted up on his throne, I have a feeling I'd fall on my knees. I have a feeling that I'd have my face to the ground and I would be thinking like Isaiah of old, oh God, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And you can understand why it was that he was so thankful that God had cleansed his lips and made him worthy to be able to give the message and exalt the glory and the greatness of our God. Thank God for the God we have. And thank God for the fact that one of these days we're going to be in the Father's house. The big thing is, we need to be doing everything we can to tell others about the fact that they too can know for sure that they're on their way to the Father's house. But moving on. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Because of time, I'll not take you to the book of Daniel, but Daniel did not see the Lord, but he saw the angel that God had sent. And God gave him a very special message. And I'm glad to tell you that the message that God gave to Daniel is the message that we can have today. We can enjoy that. We can delight in that. We also know something very precious, and that is that the Apostle John saw the Lord in the book of Revelation. But I'd like to have you come with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. Would you do that, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul, when things were just so difficult, he had gone through such devastating trials as far as his life was concerned. In fact, many scholars feel that this happened following the time when he was stoned. We're not totally sure, but we are convinced it is Paul because of the fact that it becomes very personal and becomes first person a little bit later on. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "It is expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come in visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one was caught up into the third heaven." Now get a hold of this. Now we're confident that this was talking about Paul because later on he is referring to himself and he's referring to himself in the first person here. So in verse 3 it says, "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words." My heart rejoices in that. It's good that we can't see what is there. Paul said, "I heard words, you can't even understand it if I told you, because they're words that are unspeakable words. I don't care what languages you know. Here are words that are unspeakable words. What I heard was so glorious. What I heard was so thrilling. What I heard was so exalting as far as our great God is concerned. You couldn't understand it if I told it to you. That sounds pretty good to me, doesn't it to you? He said, I heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. I can't tell you in any language what I heard. It is so beautiful. It is so wonderful. It is so awesome. Sometimes I have people tell me right after a loved one has died, well, he's looking down on us or she's looking down on us. I don't want to disappoint you, but I don't think so. I think they are so thrilled, and they are so enamored, and they are so delighting in the person of our great and glorious God, they haven't had time to worry about what's going on down here on planet Earth. And by the way, I kind of think that once it's gone, I want it to stay gone until God wants me to come back. He said, I heard things. Unspeakable words. I could not put it. It is so beautiful. It is so lovely. It is so pure. It is so pristine. Have you ever been around people? It seems like everything they say, it is so encouraging. It is so uplifting. It just seems as though they are so filled with the Word of God that everything about them radiates the glory and the dignity and the holiness and the magnificence and the grandeur of our God. This is far better than that. I can't put it into words. By the way, it's all taking place in my Father's house. Are you with me? It's in my Father's house. So I said, it's not law for me to utter. Verse 5, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That would be a wonderful, wonderful exegetical study if we only had the time to do it. But I will say this. Something very precious, something very pristine and pure and good and high and holy occurred at this time and this place. And Paul did not want to take any credit for himself. Turn, if you would, to the book of Revelation, the first chapter. I hope that you will keep in mind that this is the unveiling or the revelation of Jesus Christ. John records it for us. It's a wonderful, wonderful section. But I'm going to begin with verse 11. He said, this one is saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and in Smyrna, Pergamos, and Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with Paps about the Golden Girdle. His head and his hands were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Folks, that's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? You're really in the glory land when you're seeing this. Come with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 4. He's already given the messages to the seven churches. But here again, we see the Lord, we see our God upon his throne. May I tell you that this is truly an accurate statement when we say, the best is yet to be. I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was 16 years old. By the grace of God, I've been able to walk with him. My parents were a huge benefit. My wife was a huge benefit. Other Christians were a huge benefit as far as my life is concerned. And I'm indebted to them. But I have to say that the reason that my heart is blessed and thrilled today is because of our great and glorious God. Before too long, whether it's the rapture or whether it's death, I am going to be looking right into the eyes of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to look into his eyes. You're going to have to look into his eyes. And I'm going to have to give an account. What have I done with my life? What have I done for him? What have I done that has really counted for God? Well, I want you to know that this God deserves the very best I can give him. Many of you have probably been counting, but most of you know, or many of you know, that I'm almost 80 years old. And there's some things that happen when you get to be almost 80 years old. You know, when you get to be 80 years old, you're probably well over halfway through your life, okay? And I realize that any time that I preach, it could be the last time that I preach. Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. It can happen at 50 years old. I can make this determination. God, by the grace of God, I can do everything I can to make this day count for Jesus Christ. Notice it says here, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in the sight like an arrow. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they on their heads crowns of gold. But what I really want you to see is that John was able to see the one sitting on the throne. And we notice the response of those that were around about the throne in verse 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rested not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. fast forward now to the fifth chapter. And I'm going to ask you to join me as we see and read a verse together, because it emphasizes something that I think we need to do. Just remember, everything's all right in the Father's house. Do we have that impressed upon our hearts and minds this morning? There may be things here on planet Earth that aren't always just exactly the way that we would like to be. But I want you to know that the Lord is still high and lifted up. The Lord is still on his throne. And everything's all right in the Father's house. Could you come with me to the fifth chapter in the ninth verse? We read, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seats thereof, for thou wast slain," or the seals thereof, I'm sorry, "for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tribe," I'm sorry, "out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Could you join me as we sing, as we say the 11th and the 12th verses together? "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." And here's that great hallelujah chorus, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches," excuse me, "and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Turn, if you would, to the book of Jude. As Jude closes that glorious book, he gives us something that I think is so precious. Verse 24, "Lest you feel at time that you are faltering, lest you feel at time that you're discouraged, I want you to keep in mind, everything's all right in the Father's house, if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." I want to pause there just a moment. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize that if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are precious to him? You are precious to him. You're precious to him. I've remarked that I am the oldest of seven children, and so I didn't get to be the only child for very long. I had others coming along. Probably someplace along the line, Mom probably referred to me as precious. She may have, till she got to know me. But anyway, precious. I do know this. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are precious to God. You are precious to God the Son. I don't think I am expanding on something that is wrong when I say this. God the Son is going to be able to present you to God the Father as one who is so precious. And he's going to do it with exceeding joy. Did you get that? He's going to do it with exceeding joy. It's as though he can hardly wait to present you to the Father. John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ had already said, didn't he? Father, I will that they be with me. And so as we think about this particular Thanksgiving, may I tell you that the best is yet to be, because everything's all right in the Father's house. I'm not going to have to worry about the shame and the failure and the degradation and the failures that I've done in the past, because we're going to be focusing upon the righteousness of God. And we're going to be able to rejoice in Him and lifting Him up forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm glad to tell you, folks, everything's all right in the Father's house. I love what the writer of the wonderful hymn has written. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea, cherubim and seraphim falling down before Thee, which wert and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide Thee, though the eye of sinful men Thy glory may not see, only Thou art holy. There is none beside Thee, perfect, perfect in power, in love, and purity. Would you join me as we sing that last stanza together? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. I'm glad to tell you, folks, everything is just fine where He is high and lifted up. Everything is great in the Father's house. My plea to you today is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you receive Him as your Savior and know that you're part of the family of God and are born again and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Quite frankly, I'm not trying to be superficial, but even in preparing this message, there were times when I just had to say, oh God, You are so holy. I am so unholy. You are so pure. And I had to just bow my head time and time and time again, because I realized there were some things, even in my life, that I want to be better for God. I am glad that I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior, that the sin and the failure and the shame of the past is gone and has been replaced by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And if that's never happened in your life, it can happen. And it can happen now. I'm going to pray and ask Pastor to come and draw this service to a close. Dear Father, oh dear God, the greatest thing that could happen in our lives is if you are high and lifted up, and that we would realize in a very real way, everything's all right in the Father's house. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.